airchecks.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WQBK ownership, management, and staff. Talk Radio 1300 WQBK.
Well, good evening. What you're hearing is Earth Speak. It's our hourly environmental chat here at Talk Radio 1300 WQBK, and I'm your host, Mike O'Taling. And along with me, as always, is Ward Stone. Well, good evening, Ward.
Hi, Mike. You got your bond act.
Yes, we did.
Stand there. Boy, yeah. That's good.
Well, here's the deal. I figured that we're kind of in a post-election hangover. This is the post-election hangover show, I figured we'd call it today. Just because we've spent the last, six, 7 weeks at least, just talking on environmental politics. And let's face it, the environment and politics go hand in hand. Politics go hand in hand with everything that's out there. And unfortunately, being in the environmental movement, you got to deal with the politics, because they make the laws. So we've spent some time, coming up to Election Day, dedicating it to environmental
money, too.
Well, sure.
But I think we're in good shape in the environment at the moment, better than we were, mm-hmm. because now there's money to do a lot of things that need to be done. So I'm a little bit more optimistic about things.
Well, I figure today in our post-election hangover show, we just mentioned a few things. I thought that this election wasn't that bad for the environment this time around. I know that...
It's good for the environment.
I think a lot of my endorsements actually did very well. My environmental endorsements here on some politicians and some things. I think I did pretty well here.
You did very well.
This election day. Mm-hmm. Let's see, we had Jack McEnany winning in a landslide. Margaret Van Dusen out in Rensselaer County winning by 20 points.
You picked some tough ones like Joe Bruno.
We didn't pick it on this show.
Yeah, you did. Maybe it was on the other.
No, it was on the other show. Okay. It was on the FM show. But but the ones I picked on this show came through. Yeah,
yeah.
Margaret out in Rensselaer County wins by 20 points, and she's a fighter on the Nassau Lake issue and a lot of issues out there.
Snake Mountain.
Yeah, so we're glad to see Margaret back in. Environmental Bond Act passed. Now, that was a rough one, though. It was a nail-biter, but it did pass. And I think that...
It was overwhelming downstate,
sure.
Long Island, New York City.
But I think that, even the folks upstate here that bought into the Change New York ad that ran, misleading ad that they ran up here, I think that, it's all water under the bridge now.
Well,
we have a bond act.
It's going to do a lot of good upstate. It's not going to solve all our environmental problems, that's for sure. There'll still be a lot of battles, a lot of places we'll need to put a lot of effort and money into that won't be covered under the bond act. Hazardous waste sites aren't covered, for example. So... There's a lot to do, and our everyday way of living is a problem,
mm-hmm.
because we pollute so much and we waste so much on a daily basis that we've got to change that. We've got to head away from that as much as possible, and that's going to be tough to do in a society that is so mall and consumer-oriented.
Well, I guess the point I want to make about the Bond Act is it may not have gone over well with upstate voters, but I think in the long run, even people upstate will realize that when this money starts getting poured into sewage treatment projects and things up here, mm-hmm. that our area qualifies for, I think that... people will realize that in the long run, this is a good thing.
Well, you got Lake Champlain, you got the Hudson mm-hmm. River, there's a whole variety of upstate things that will be helped by it.
Well,
and we're talking for a long time into the future that some of their revolving funds of money in this that are going to be very helpful over a long period of time. It's going to go way beyond the Pataki administration and other governors. This Bond Act will keep helping us.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing it'll do is it'll bring in federal money with matching funds for a lot of projects that otherwise would never take place.
Yeah, this is more like a $3 billion environmental trust fund.
Right.
There's a lot that can be done with it. And of course, there were a lot of skeptical upstaters on it, because they bought into this Change New York ads with the dancing pig and, claiming that 75% of the money was going to go to New York City, which was absolutely false. Things about parking lots, the thing in there about parking lots, well, hell, you build a sewage treatment plant, you got to build a parking lot so the employees can park. So they did distort things in the ad, and apparently it did work, and it got to some upstaters because the Bond Act failed upstate, but Long Island and New York City overwhelmingly voted for it, and we do have a Bond Act, and this is good for the whole state. We have a new telephone number here, by the way, 472-1300, 472.
Beyond the state, it's good for the country.
Sure.
Good for the world.
Well, I was talking with a legislator in Pennsylvania that said if we pass the Bond Act here, that he may very well introduce it there. because he thought it made a lot of sense.
Right.
And I think in the long run, it does make a lot of sense.
Plus, when you cut down on air pollution and water pollution, pollution doesn't know recognized borders of states.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be very helpful to everybody.
Yeah. So what have you been up to this week?
Well, I've been noticing that we've got an upswing in rabies in the Capital District area. There's certainly more skunks, more raccoons being found. It's nothing like it was back in 93, 94, but it's an increasing problem, and people ought to be aware that that there is rabies out there. We had a man who found a roadkill raccoon on the road,
mm-hmm.
picked it up, and skinned it with his bare hands in the Albany area, just picked it up, and then got to thinking about it, apparently, and was tested, and it had rabies. So the guy's going to be getting his rabies shots. So people shouldn't be picking up dead animals that they don't know what's happened to them and handling them. And kids, of course, should stay away from those things.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't had much in the press lately about rabies. And when that happens, people begin to think that it's gone away. It hasn't. It's around.
Well, what we're going to do, you know, now that the Bond Act has passed, and, you know, now that, you know, I think this time around, the election was pretty good for the environment. And, you know, we want to concentrate the show on having more scientists in and different things. And, you know, we kind of killed the political aspect of on this program, you know, talking about the environment. So, you know, so we'd like to get into more scientific thing. And just, you know, it's just you and I today. We don't have a guest. So we're just going to take callers here. We have a new number, 472-1300. That's 472-1300. Anything on your mind? We have State Pathologist Ward Stone here. I'm here. You know, if you have anything you want to talk about on the environment, you know, give us a call. Even if you want to get into some of the political aspects of it. But, you know, I think we kind of beat the political thing to death here, you know, working our way up towards elections. But, you know, as always, you know, the environment and politics, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. So, our number here again is 472-1300. If you have, you know, something you'd like to talk to us about here on the environment, you know, we'll take your call. And what we're going to do is we're going to run to our first break here, and then we'll be right back.
Hello, sports fans. We're coming to you from the Goodyear blimp. But this isn't the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, or the Cotton Bowl. It's bigger. It's Goodyear's All Tires on Sale Bowl, where absolutely every Goodyear tire in stock is on sale at thousands of Goodyear retailers all across America. Right now, you can save on all Goodyear Eagles, all Goodyear Wranglers, all Goodyear Wet Traction Aqua Treads, tires for cars, light trucks, and minivans. We say they're the best tires in the world, so now's the time to save on America's number one brand. Hurry to your participating Goodyear retailer today. Sale ends January 20th.
That's the freedom of liberty.
Liberty Mutual Insurance. It has always been our mission to preserve and
protect. Personal attention. That's what you'll get at your local Valurite Pharmacy. With over 5,000 independently owned Valurite stores nationwide, you'll find friendly service and prices that make you smile. And now, get holiday savings on Afrin nasal spray. Choose regular, extra moisturizing, or sinus formulas. Now just $4.59 each at participating Valurite Pharmacies. Valurite, America's neighborhood pharmacy. For the store nearest you, call 1-800-880-VALUE.
Talk Radio 1300 WQBK.
Okay, and what you're hearing is Earth Speak. It's our hourly environmental conversation here every week on Talk Radio 1300 WQBK. But I don't know, when we came into the studio today, we noticed that things are a little different around here, and rumor has it there's going to be some big changes around here at the radio station coming up soon. And I know you're good at getting information out of people, you know, here. You know, that's what you do for a living. You get information and you dissect it. Did you get anything out of our management here? What the hell's going on? Are we still on the air? Is this show still going to continue on?
We're still on the air.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to remain on the air.
As of today, but we don't know.
We don't know about Monday.
Yeah, in the future, Monday or whatever. But it looks
You know, if you lived life the way I have for the last 58 years, I mean, it's not surprising.
Yeah,
that's the way things go.
Well, you have a tendency
in my life. I mean, it's always, will you be there tomorrow? Will you get a budget next year?
Yeah, well, you have a tendency to
so live WQBK dangerously. Is the same way.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll be around next week. I mean, I don't know. They're talking big changes around here.
Unless we do.
I came in today and I tried to get some information out of people.
We do Earth Speak in the park.
There you go. Yeah,
standing
we'll do
on
it
a
live.
Box.
That's it. Yeah, if they don't let us broadcast this show and talk about the environment, that's it. You know, I think we should get a podium right on the Capitol steps and just scream out our message. You know, I don't know. Maybe we have somebody on the line here that would agree with us here. Hey, hello, caller. Are you there?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Ward, this is Ken Duffy from Rensselaer County. How you doing?
Good,
hey, Ken.
Ken.
How are you?
Great. We're all hoping out here that your show survives, of course.
Well, there's been a lot of commotion today about big changes here at the radio station, and, you know, frankly, I don't know what's going on.
Well, we're all pulling for you. I think you have a pretty good listening audience now. I know that people are actually taping your show, and we're trading tapes out here like we used to baseball cards. So your listening audience is growing by leaps and bounds, so we're all pulling for you.
I thought you were talking about Commissioner Zagata and his buddies.
Well, I know they listen, too. I can guarantee you you've got their ear.
Oh, believe me, we know. We've found out that they definitely listen over there. As a matter of fact, I was called a yellow journalist by some DEC folks the other week.
Oh, that's quite a compliment.
Well, it is, you know, especially coming from them.
Really?
You know?
Hey, I want to thank you for your support for Margaret Van Dusen. As you said, she had a pretty decisive victory down in her district, and she did run on a very strong environmental platform. And I heard your endorsement, and I know you helped a lot in getting her reelected. So.
Well, Margaret's one hell of a fighter out there on the Nassau Lake and Snake Mountain situation, and I can't think of anybody better that deserved to be reelected, in Rensselaer County than Margaret.
We need a lot more people like that in politics.
Yes, we do. And we have a lot more people like that on our majority legislature, interestingly enough. We have, we have Ralph Vardigan and Dave Little and Neil Kelleher, and we have a bunch of great guys there that really, really put the environment up there among the top issues. So we're very lucky.
Absolutely. It's funny how, you know, like when we have people like Jeff Jones from Environmental Advocates in here, you know, and we take a look at like the breakdown of the state legislature, it looks on like a statewide level and certainly on a national level that the Democratic Party is stronger on environmental issues than the Republican Party.
Right.
You know, that is absolutely not the case in Rensselaer County, and I've said that all along since this broadcast has been on the air, that I know the environmentalists in Rensselaer County, at least on the county level, are folks like Ralph Vardigan and Margaret Van Dusen and Dave Little. It's the Republican Party, and that's why I'm so glad that the Republican Party kept the majority in Rensselaer County so that we can forge ahead on these environmental issues. And God knows there's quite a few of them out in Rensselaer County.
Yeah, it was interesting that this weekend we hit the telephone banks to try to get support for Margaret or to see what kind of support was out there. And overwhelmingly, the number one issue on the minds of the people we called was the environment. They wanted to know where Margaret stood on Lane Mine and where she was on Nassau Lake and where she was on Dewey. And, you know, as soon as we told them her record, We pretty much had their support. So that was good to hear. It was quite different, interestingly enough, last year we called around for another legislator and the environment was not a hot topic out there. So hopefully, you know, shows like yours and people like Ward, I think the work is finally paying off.
Well, you know, it's up in the air as to whether we're going to return to the air or not, because apparently there's some big changes going on here and it's very hush-hush, it's very top secret. I'm sure you've been hearing it on the air all day, as I have. I'm kind of worried. I'm kind of wondering, are we going to be able to go on the air for an hour a week and discuss environmental issues, clean air, clean water, public health, things like that?
Well, I think we should ask the listeners out there to pull together and make some phone calls, even over the weekend, to keep your show alive, because, you know, I'll tell you, your show is the only one like it in the state. It's the only forum that we have to keep these issues out in front and offer, you know, a format for discussion. So it's very important that you people stay where you are.
Well, Ken, I appreciate, you know, your vote of confidence here. While we have you on the phone here, I'm glad you called in, actually, because I was reading the paper. And I saw something interesting up in your neck of the woods over there. And it's a proposal to use methane gas from the old Troy landfill. Apparently the city wants to cap it. I know the landfill has to be capped, but they want to cap it. And then the methane that comes off of the landfill, they want to actually sell and make a profit with.
That's right.
It sounds like a great idea. I mean, you got a broke city. They're looking for money. You know, here's something environmental that they can make a buck on.
Yeah, plus, you know, at the same time, it will solve some of the odor problems that they have out there That is a, you know, a 55-acre landfill that sits kind of right in the middle of a residential development. And many of the complaints out there have been from about the odors and the potential contamination of the groundwater. But, you know, it's sort of the classic win-win scenario. You can capture this gas and filter it and compress it and sell it to the grid or use it for your vehicles. And at the same time, you know, you are mitigating an environmental problem. So it's pretty exciting stuff, really.
Yeah, I've seen that done in some other landfills and successfully, too.
Yeah, I think Rapp Road has a pretty good program out there, don't they, Albany?
Well, I've seen them do a lot of burning, but the one that I saw gather the most was the Orange County landfill.
Mm.
They really get a lot of methane and utilize it.
Hey, Ken, can I put you on hold for a second? We have another listener that has a comment. We want to get right back to you because there is a couple of questions I want to ask.
Absolutely.
You, seeing that we have you back here with us, okay?
Yep.
Can you hold on a minute?
Thanks.
Okay, we're gonna go to another caller here. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, I was just calling about something else. What is your topic now?
We're just doing a general environmental discussion just because we beat to death the whole environmental politics thing for the last 6 weeks or so. Just because Election Day was coming and stuff.
Oh, I was just going to express my disappointment about you cutting Gordon Liddy way back. I'm sorry, I got the wrong number, I guess.
Well, no, that's okay. This is the environmental show, but it looks like the environmental show might be in trouble here, too.
Well, we're listening to the news on the TV now. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Thank you for the call. We're gonna go back to Ken now. Hey, Ken, you there?
Yeah, Mike.
There's all kinds of turmoil from our listeners here.
People are worried out there, Mike.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been in this radio business now almost 19 years. And, you know, just as you think things are going, you know, just the right way and everything else, all of a sudden something new happens, a new change comes in, and, you know, you don't even know it happens, and then it happens. Poof, you're gone, you know. But I've seen oftentimes where write-in campaigns and bombardment of telephone calls to management and stuff like that will save a program or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, once again, I haven't been told whether this show is on or off the air, you know, so we're just hoping, you know, that, that next week comes along, we'll be here. But anyway, while I got you on the line here, Ken, on what might be our final broadcast, we have spent an awful lot of time on the show, you know, because election was coming, you know, talking on the environment. But you've been on our show before, and I know that Rensselaer County is sort of like the hot spot for environmental issues, good and bad. I don't want to be negative, you know, on this, but there's a lot of good things happening in, you know, in Rensselaer County, and then, of course, there are a lot of other things that have been capturing a lot of press headlines, and I know we've been concentrating on pushing the Bond Act and different things along those lines, but now that I have you on the line, I think it would be great if you could give us an update on some of the things that are happening in Rensselaer County. Anything new on, for example, that you know of on the Nassau Lake situation, for example?
Yes, and I sent a memo to Ward earlier. Ward, did you get that today?
I got it today.
Okay, yeah. I think as Ward can share with you, the federal judge that was overseeing the settlement between General Electric, who created the pollution problems up at Dewey Lofa Landfill, the federal judge has basically scheduled a pre-trial conference between the state and General Electric to see if he can't sort of reopen the issues here. That's what it appears like. This is quite an unexpected event in this case. The judge, right along, was being led to believe that everything was okay up there, and in reality, that landfill, which is one of the most polluted spots in the world, is leaking out the bottom into area groundwater and into Nassau Lake. So I think this is a pretty monumental occasion here, that the federal judge would step in and sort of bring all the parties into the room, and they've also invited the county to attend for the first time. So we're hoping that this means that this problem is going to get addressed in a more aggressive manner.
Yeah, I'm hopeful of that, too. You know, just being someone that grew up out there, you know, I mean, this has been going on longer than I've been alive, and, you know, I'm just hoping that eventually this can be resolved. You know, Ken?
Yeah, well, the other thing that I think that you deserve a lot of credit for, Mike, is the Lake Association has now become a lot more active in this. When we first got involved in this, we went through the records, and nowhere could we find any letter from the Nassau Lake Association, which indicated that they really felt that the lake should be cleaned up. As you know, this lake has turned into a sediment trap for PCBs from the landfill that sits about two miles above it. Now the Lake Association is getting very active, and I know you worked hard on that, Mike, and Ann Ray worked hard, and Ward, you were down there several times, and it's good to see because, you know, the county can only do just so much, and until the people that are actually affected stand up and join the chorus, not much is going to happen.
Well, you know, what I've got to say about the Lake Association is they are a great gang of people out there. They are the most down-to-earth, just terrific people, and, you know, I've gotten kind of out of touch because, yeah, I was the 70s prodigy of Nassau Lake, so to speak, and, you know, I left the area for the entire decade of the 80s, and there's been a turnover. So a lot of people that are out at the lake, I don't know, you know, anymore. There are new faces out there, but I got a chance to go out and meet them and attend these meetings, and these people are genuinely concerned, and I don't think they realized the scope of the problem, you know, until this thing started unraveling, until, well, we were talking about Margaret, until Margaret fired off that letter to the Attorney General and got this whole thing stirred up again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with us going out there and talking to the Lake Association, I think it's dawned on them that this is a lot more serious than they were led to believe. And, you know, these people are, you know, they're doing the right thing. You know, they want this lake cleaned up, and I don't blame them.
Well, I think it's very good right now because we've got so many people working to see that this problem is solved. You know, we didn't have that before. We've got the Lake Association and Nassau Union of Concerned Citizens and lots of other people who don't belong to those organizations but live in the area or fish in the lake. All moving to see that place gets cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've got a better team than we've ever had out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to help, and I think we're going to get that place cleaned up. I think it's going to take some time. I don't think it's going to happen next year or the year after that, but I think it's going to happen within a decade.
Well, Ken, you deserve a lot of this credit, too. I mean, you know, being, you know, the director of the Rensselaer County Environmental Management Council, you know.
Feisty and stirring things up.
Yeah, well Ken, you're one of our environmental heroes out here. You're the guy that goes after these people,
well,
you know.
Well, I mean, we might light the match, I'll tell you, but, I mean, you know, the work that Ward did out there was really, really, really good with the Lake Association. Because we were, as you know, we had a little communication problem there. We sort of came in with both guns drawn and identified a problem that we didn't think was going to get addressed. And Ward was able to go in with a more tempered approach and with science and bring all the parties together. And it really seems now, for the first time, as Ward said, we have a team out there that's going to get the job done. And and it's a credit to you, Mike, too. Without this radio show, this stuff like this just wouldn't happen. You were able to bring Tom Tobiah to the forefront and get all the parties talking, and it's really good. And that's why we got to make sure you guys stay around on the air.
Well, I mean, hopefully we will. But yeah, like I say, in this radio business that I've been in for 19 years, you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, getting back to you though, I mean, obviously you've done a lot of work on Nassau Lake. You know, just because you're with the, you know, the Rensselaer County Environmental Management Council, but you got your hands full. I mean, you're like an octopus out there. You got a whole bunch of different projects going on out there.
Yeah, well, I want to point out that the council is a lot more than just myself. We have 20 members, and you know, it's a volunteer from every member from every town.
Yeah, but you're on the hot seat. You have to coordinate this
whole
thing.
Yeah, I basically keep them working. That's my job. But I tell you, we got a lot of good people. Every, you know, from scientists to engineers to housewives to farmers. But they're all out there working. And well, I'll tell you, we got about 24 projects we're working on right now, and we're very pleased with the progress on them all. But and again, I want to bring it back though to the legislature. We are an arm of the legislature. Without their blessing, we don't get to do our work, and that's why this last election was so important.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, you know, I'm a big supporter of your bosses out there in the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had Ralph Vardigan on the show, and he's been a fighter over. As a matter of fact, I got together with him, and I was pretty active. Well, so were you in the Troy landfill fight.
Mm-hmm.
you know, which was a victory. You know, and we've had our victories. Mm-hmm. You know, one other topic that's out there in Rensselaer County before we go and go to another commercial break here, but is the Four Seas landfill. I have said time and time again that construction debris looks like it's going to be the big pollution problem of the 90s, and I think Ward agrees with me. Ward's worked on a lot of these construction debris sites. What's the latest update on the one over in your neck of the woods over in East Greenbush?
Well, I think, as you know, that's a 12-acre landfill that's proposed for the border between East Greenbush and Rensselaer County. The ravine does happen to drain into the Hudson River, and also on both sides of the ravine, there are housing developments. So this is basically a construction and demolition debris landfill that is right in the middle of what we consider a very residential area. We don't think it is a proper place. The other issue is that it's outlawed by local law. The East Greenbush 1994 local law number one in East Greenbush says no landfill in any zoning district. So the county's been working pretty hard to try to encourage a different location for that landfill. We are waiting for a ruling from the judge now, interestingly enough, on whether or not we'll be able to get Ward Stone in there as a witness, and also whether or not another DEC witness will be able to come in. We've literally had to subpoena witnesses from the DEC to get information on the hazards of hydrogen sulfide gas. It doesn't really look like they're going to let Ward come in, but maybe another DEC witness named Joseph Yavindetti will be able to come in and talk about some of the other hazards we've had with C&D landfills in other areas of the state. So right now we're just waiting for the judge's ruling on that. We expect to be back in hearings by December 1st.
Well, Ken, I got to run off to a break here, but I appreciate you giving us a call here. And
thank you, Mike.
Hopefully you can come back and visit us live in the studio if we even have a show after next week.
Well, we're going to go to bat for you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care, Ken.
See
take
you,
care.
Ward.
Yep, take care.
Bye.
You know, Ken makes a good point on construction debris. I really think that's going to be the, has been, one of our worst environmental problems. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, it's an important one that hasn't been addressed. We've got an awful lot of important problems out there. You know, we've got the PCBs in the Hudson River. We've got Myrex in Lake Ontario. We've got a lot of air pollution problems. We've got Fresh Kills Landfill down in New York City, 4 square miles or better, I guess, of territory that's uncapped. We've got problems with what to do with sludge from sewage treatment plants, especially the city plants. Where should that go? How safe is it? Monitoring it. We've got pesticide problems. We've got green space problems. We've got development going on in areas which is pushing back our green spaces and taking over wildlife habitat. We got problems with malls, sprawl of malls. We've got a tremendous number of problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to run to a break here. The phone numbers...
C&D is something that hasn't been addressed. Not only are we dealing with these dumps that are being proposed, we haven't dealt with the ones that are all over the place that, you know, are just sitting next to people's houses that are still polluting. They've never been capped.
Mm-hmm.
There's dozens of those that went in the late 1980s, and they still haven't been dealt with.
Well, maybe we'll hear from some listeners, like over in Albany, for example, that have the New Options on Waste site. Yep. Over there, or maybe. Yep. Some folks from East Greenbush are listening. They'll give us a call.
Glenville.
Yeah, Glenville. Mm-hmm. There's one, the Padone dump. Yep. And I guess they're trying to put construction debris on the Rotterdam landfill now.
All of Pattersonville, all that area. It's a statewide problem.
It's a plague. It's a statewide plague is what it is. Mm-hmm. With that thought, we're going to run to a break. 472-1300 is the number here. 472-1300. This may be our last broadcast. Who knows? So if you want to give us a call, talk the environment. We're just talking environment in general. Any questions you have out there, we have Ward Stone, state wildlife pathology here, state wildlife pathologist here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to your phone calls. 472-1300.
I am November 9th. That's right, just a Saturday after Election Day, some no-name weekend prior to Thanksgiving. Until now. Because now I'm JCPenney's biggest sale of the year. Sure, you got a president last Tuesday, but let's face it, he'll do nothing for your wardrobe. Saturday from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., you'll save on thousands of things in every JCPenney department. Shop before 11 a.m. and take an extra 10% off the sale price. So star me, circle me, highlight my face pink. November 9th, JCPenney's biggest sale of the year.
Hi, this is Tom Bosley. I think most of us want to buy life insurance, but it seems so expensive. And the hassle. Well, I'm happy to tell you someone is changing the way America buys life insurance. SelectQuote. SelectQuote doesn't just give you one price from one company. They search top-rated firms like Travelers and CNA to find you low rates and great savings. Then they send you a free personalized price comparison. And you'll love this. Your doorbell never rings. SelectQuote's friendly staff works with you over the phone to help you choose the best policy for you. No wonder SelectQuote has saved over 100,000 people millions of dollars on term life insurance. See how much you can save. Just call 1-800-543-2215. SelectQuote. They're changing the way America buys life insurance. Call now. 1-800-543-2215. Coverage available in most states.
Talk Radio 1300 WQBK.
And this is Earth Speak. I'm Mike Hotelling. I'm your host. It's 6:35, 25 before 7 o'clock. And with me, of course, state wildlife pathologist Ward Stone. And we talk about the environment every week. And hopefully we'll have a future of talking about the environment here. I don't know, what other subjects you want to kick around, Ward? We're just kind of, you know, chatting about anything. And of course, anybody wants to join in on the chat here, it's 472-1300. That's our that's our new phone number here, so if anybody has any comments they want to make, feel free to do it. Okay, well, there's so many different environmental issues that we could talk about, you know, any that come to mind.
Exotic wildlife.
Okay,
the introduction of exotic wildlife. I'm getting calls now about deer running around. They're not white-tailed deer. They're fallow deer and sika deer. Deer that are being raised on game farms and have escaped and are running around the countryside. Hear about this over in Columbia County. And I'm very worried about the potential introduction of diseases from deer raised in cages and shipped around the country, mixed in with zoo animals, into our herds of white-tailed deer that are, you know, native to the state. I'm also getting calls from farm people. A lady who raises sheep and in the spring of the year, summer, gathers milk from the sheep and makes sheep cheese. And she's having some of these exotic deer around her farm and getting in with the sheep. So she's concerned about the movement of diseases from where they were in captivity to her sheep, potentially. I'm concerned about them taking hold in the wild, too, and setting up a population that will compete with the native deer, besides the diseases. So we've got a real problem, and they're considered domestic animals, but they're wild animals. So they need to be looked at for what they are, wildlife, not just domestic animals. There's a real threat there. And exotic wildlife overall is a real problem. This summer, I was down called by the animal control officer in Albany and the Albany police, and we picked up a Burmese python out on the street around St. Rose. So I recall it was a 50-some-odd pound snake, or about a 50-pound snake. About the same size that reportedly killed a teenager in Brooklyn, and this was just out on a lawn. Nobody really knew where it came from, but we need to be concerned about them as well as the poisonous snakes.
Well, we have a caller on the line here, so hello, caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Mr. Stone? Oh, good. I'm concerned about fallout, a runoff from the snow, rock salt, and also lawn fertilizers and insecticide that gets into the water system.
Okay.
Anything in particular on that subject?
Well, I buy my water you know, mostly for drinking. I use some for cooking, but I wonder how much of that stuff, do you know, gets into the water system, and how do they get it out?
Well, you hit a number of different points. Certainly with salt, there have been areas along heavily salted highways, where you're putting the salt down as a de-icer during the winter, mm-hmm. where the salt has gotten into wells, and it's resulted in high sodiums, and there have been warnings to people who shouldn't be on a high-salt diet to avoid drinking the water. They found that it got in there.
Well, I was thinking more of the municipal. See, I don't have a well. I mean,
right.
Most people get out of their faucets.
Yeah. I think your question covers both.
Right.
Because a lot of people do have wells, and certainly fertilizers and salts and pesticides that are applied do make their way into municipal water systems. Now, the municipal water systems, though, generally have more treatment and more monitoring than the average person's well ever gets. And so it is a problem with runoff of those things.
And also, a group came to the door, I don't know, it was NYPERG or something, with a horrible sheet which listed industrial chemicals and water. Is that true? Where they listed so many of them that you'd be afraid to turn on your faucet?
Well, they have found an awful lot of them. I recall a study that was done in the Mississippi River down around New Orleans, where they found hundreds of chemicals that were attributed to pollution from humans. So, but hopefully by the time the stuff reaches your tap, most of that's going to be covered and monitored. But, you know, we've certainly got problems there, and people's wells are a real problem. I've seen studies around golf courses where they've put in test wells, and they found pesticides and herbicides and fertilizers making their way into the groundwater.
That's why I don't like the idea of a fluoridation of water. I talked to her with a chiropractor, and he said at least a bad bones. But it's just another chemical.
Well, there was a controversy here in Albany.
Fluoride is quite a controversy. There's certainly an awful lot of evidence of it doing a lot of good in preventing cavities and so on as well. So you can get quite a battle among scientists over that, and a lot of places have, of course, decided to go with the fluoride. So I'm really not prepared to talk about the fluoride. I just haven't done enough studies on it to know where I stand on it. But about your argument about pesticides, about things like diazinon and Dursban and various herbicides and so on getting into groundwater and potentially being in drinking water, that is a problem. And we've talked about a number of times on this show about how a lot of pesticide use is totally unnecessary, like what we put on home lawns. We're not growing any more food for a hungry world. We're dealing with aesthetics. And for many of these chemicals that we're putting on, they are harmful to vegetation that ought to be saved bordering these properties. And many of these compounds, like the diazinon, Dursban, Bendiocarb, common pesticides used on lawns, every time they're used, birds may be killed. So if you like birds, it's counterproductive to be using these kind of things.
Ma'am, I want to thank you for your phone call. We have another caller on the line here, but before we go to him, I want to get back to the fluoride thing, because that did get a lot of press headlines within the last couple of years. Now, the city of Albany was one of the very few major municipalities that didn't have fluoride in their water. And then there was a controversy about adding the fluoride to the water, and apparently it was the American Dental Association that was pushing for Albany to get fluoride in their water. And some activists came out opposed to it because there were some studies showing that, yes, fluoride might strengthen your teeth, but it also may cause hardening of arteries and different things like that. So apparently it got in front of the water board or the city council or whatever, and they decided that, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So they ended up not adding
fluoride. Well, the dosage has a lot to do with what something like fluoride does.
Mm-hmm.
I've got friends that are totally against fluoride that are scientists, and I've got many others who are for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not prepared to take a stand because I just haven't done the studies and reviews on fluoride to come up with the educated kind of a statement I'd like to make on it.
Yeah, I was just pointing out the controversy on it all. You know, it just got a lot of press headlines, and to be honest with you, I don't know much about it, you know. We have another caller on the line here. Hello, caller. Are you there? Would you like to talk to Mr. Stone?
Yes, actually, I have a question. I've recently, over the last several months, caught and released several fish from a specific site, and they seem to show evidence of tumors around their gills and mouths. And I'm wondering if there's somewhere I could take one of these fish to have examined, or if there's...
Sir, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Could you be specific on the body of water? Would it be the Hudson River or maybe Nassau Lake?
No, it's not the Hudson River. It's actually a small, I believe it's a man-made, it's not a pond, but it's a small lake, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Are they bullheads or...
One was a bullhead and the other was a largemouth bass.
Uh-huh. They have tumors around the lips, the mouth.
Correct.
Of the bullhead?
The bullhead actually had numerous tumors around the mouth, mm-hmm. and the bass only had one underneath where the gill begins.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems strange. Those aren't the only fish that I've taken out of there that... that showed signs of, not being experienced, I would call them a tumor, but...
But, sir, you don't actually know what body of water it was because you do have a fishing guide that...
No, I do know the body of water.
He knows what it is. Let me deal with this for a second, Mike. I'll tell you, on bullheads, there's a lot of tumors that occur around the mouth.
There is.
That are caused by viruses.
Okay.
And so it doesn't necessarily mean that there's anything to do with toxic substances in a case like that.
Okay.
Now, I'm the wildlife pathologist, and my territory is pretty much from the amphibians on up through the mammals. In other words, from frogs and salamanders on up to moose and bear, which is a big territory.
Okay.
We do have a fish pathologist out in Rome. And I do look at some of the common things that come through with fish, but we can get things out to him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you contact my office and drop those things off, there's a real good chance that we'll run them down. But I'll tell you, the reason why I knew it was a bullhead is I've seen just so many of those.
Okay.
And we have cases where tumors are certainly related to toxicants,
mm-hmm.
but we have lots of other cases where they aren't. For example, with deer. Deer frequently have skin tumors, fibromas, and when hunters see those on the deer that they take, one of the first things they think is that it has something to do with pollution. Well, deer have been having those kinds of tumors for many hundreds of years, thousands of years, and it's caused by a virus.
Okay.
That really just gets into the deer. So you have to be pretty careful about running these things down. But we'd be glad to take a look at that. So if you want to drop them off or give me a call at 439-8017, which is my office number in DEC, we'd be glad to talk to you about those problems.
What were the last four numbers?
8017, 439-8017.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Stone.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you for your call. Yeah, you know, we've talked before. Like, for example, we've had Andy Maley on the show, who's with Hudson River Clearwater.
Heck of a guy. We're lucky to have him working on environmental problems.
Sure.
Wrote a wonderful book.
Now Andy had mentioned, from his studies...
Looting for pleasure.
Right. Well, he had mentioned from his studies on the Hudson River that mutations from PCBs happen. Now, as a pathologist, how do you know the difference between, for example, a mutated fish that would be found at, say, a body of water like Nassau Lake or the Hudson River that's clearly known to have a pollution problem, namely being the PCBs, and something like this caller had just mentioned? You know, I mean, how... What...
Well,
how do you find the difference?
There's a variety of things involved. One is there is a mass of knowledge available on many fish and wildlife disease problems, including various kinds of tumors, where people have actually done research. They have caused tumors to occur with viruses. And that's the kind of thing that's happened. They've actually run experiments and used very, very fine filters and filtered the material down so that nothing would be left there but something the size of a virus, reproduced the disease. They have done histological studies, taken the tumors, fixed them, sectioned them, studied in under the microscope and there is a particular pattern that seems in the, that is seen in the microscope, which is also very helpful in reaching a diagnosis, just as it is with classifying tumors in humans.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got quite a lot of knowledge. In other cases, we may not know what the cause of something is, and then research has to be done to find out whether or not something like a virus is involved, or is there a specific chemical. And that can mean identifying what chemicals are in the sediment or in the water of in the water of a lake or pond or river, and then running controlled experiments to see if you can reproduce that kind of a condition.
Right. Oh, we're going to run to another break here. Phone lines are open here at 472-1300. That's 472-1300. If you have a question on the environment, the science of it, or, you know, whatever, you know, that's what we do every week here. Hopefully, we'll continue to do that after this week. But 472-1300, this is Earth Speak. I'm Mike Hotelling. Wart Stone's with me, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mr. Food. You've seen me on TV showing you how to make delicious meals in a hurry, you know, with simple around-the-house ingredients. But with today's busy lifestyle, sometimes there isn't even time for quick and easy. Well, that's when I recommend the best takeout restaurant in town. Where? At your nearby Grand Union. From buffalo chicken wings to complete dinners for five, you'll find it all. Hot and ready to go. Take it from me, Mr. Food. The best takeout restaurant in town is at your nearby Grand Union. Ooh, it's so good.
Dr. Robert Mulgrew, independent optometrist next to LensCrafters.
I'm an eye doctor because I want to help people see better. LensCrafters helps that happen. I always provide a thorough eye exam. I've got all the right technology. I can check for glaucoma, cataracts, and with LensCrafters 1-hour service, I get to see my patients in their new glasses right away. I enjoy seeing my patients year after year because when they come back, that's showing trust. I'm their eye doctor. That's a responsibility I wouldn't trade for anything.
LensCrafters, helping people see better 1 hour at a time.
Talk Radio 1300 WQBK.
And I'm Mike Hotelling, and what you're hearing is Earth Speak. It's our hourly environmental discussion. I'm, you know, I'm Mike Hotelling. I did mention that, and of course, Wart Stone's here. It's 10 before 7 o'clock. This may very well be our final broadcast here of Earth Speak. Wart, if this is our final broadcast, is there any reflective things over since January of 95 that you've been doing the show that you would want to mention?
Yeah, certainly I met a lot of very interesting people on this show. I had never met Ralph Vardigan before or Mr. Little, and it was a pleasure listening to them talk about the environment. So there are many people that were just outstanding. You know, mm-hmm. Talking to Andy Malay, not just about PCBs, but, you know, even after and before the show, about motorboats and pollution from boating. There just have been all kinds of outstanding people. Edgar King, Sylvia Lawler, and the people from Queeman's who are concerned about the dump that might come down there, that they're fighting hard so they can keep that rural town rural, keep out the Answers Consortium from building this big dump down there. Edgar King, very, very interesting guy who came in and has been fighting, along with many people in Northumberland, to keep the Saratoga landfill from coming into their town. They don't need it. They don't want it. They never did, and they're the ones that got stuck with it. We've had a lot of outstanding people on here. Donald Lake and Tracy, the Raptor Center in Dutchess County, talking about how she takes care of raptors and brings them back from the death's doorstep to flying free again in the wild.
I think my favorite part of the broadcast is talking to the listeners that are out there, you know, because we've been stumped by good questions.
Well, one of the sad things is we didn't have that talking to the listeners until recently. We did most of it, you know, was without having the call in. So this is something new and really is exciting.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a caller, let's put one on the air now. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Mr. Stone, I have a question for you. With trapping season to open shortly, you were mentioning rabies before in a coon, and fur prices are up, and raccoons, one of the markets that they're up in. What's the incidence in fur bearer population, you know, all the other mammals out there that people would be trying to take? Because a lot of people, I'm from the hill towns, a lot of people are, you know, got their license this year, are ready to start trapping, make some money, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
What precautions, you know, should everyone take?
Well,
also, excuse me, just rent incidences, let's say, in Albany and Schoharie counties.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in things like white-tailed deer, it's exceedingly rare.
Yep,
we haven't had a single deer this year, whereas back in 1993, we had a number of them when we really had a peak in raccoon rabies. Raccoon rabies is still around. We've had a little jump in it. It's roughly about 10% of what it was back in 93, 94, if you can measure it by the kind of calls that we have and the number of cases that have come through our lab this year. It's about 10%, but...
But the coon population is way down, though, boy.
The coon population is way down, but it has come back a little bit. Now, we're getting some cases from Bern and Westerlo and Knox. Just had one, I think, this morning from Westerlo, so it's definitely out there. If the raccoon is acting normal, you know, behaving normally in the trap or one that's hunted, that in itself makes it a lot less likely that you're going to have a problem.
Right.
I mentioned somebody earlier who picked up a roadkill, which is foolish, and then skinned that out and then got to thinking about it because raccoons with rabies aren't functioning normally.
Right.
They don't know the car's coming. They don't know how to get out of the road.
Well, they'd be real maybe lethargic in a trap.
Right. And so that's another factor. Another thing is that when you skin these things, wear gloves.
Right.
Protect yourself. Disinfect your tools, say with
Clorox
10% Clorox. It would be wise, although it's expensive, to get the pre-immunizations.
Yeah, some fellow trappers are thinking about it.
It's a good idea to get
the rest of the fur bearer population. How's that? It's, let's say mink and
It's going to be real.
It's in beaver also.
It's going to be real, real rare in things like muskrats. You don't see it there, but very, very rarely. You don't see it too much in the rodents anyway. Once in a while, you'll see it in beaver.
Yeah.
Haven't seen much of it there because this year, because with the raccoon population down compared to what it used to be, the likelihood of the raccoon biting a beaver up on the shore is a lot smaller.
Right.
But it's still out there.
How about mink and, let's say, the fox, gray, and red, and coyote populations?
It's possible. It's possible. Again, you want to be cautious.
As far as people, I'd say you checking road kills around. I mean, incidence of it in the
incidence is low in the coyotes. I've never quite understood exactly why it is. There must be considerable resistance there because even during the heart of the outbreak in Albany County, we didn't have a case during that time in the coyote that I ran into.
No kidding.
Wow. So, but, you know, they do get it, and, you know, you don't want to deal with one that's acting strangely, showing central nervous system signs as we show it. In other words, their brain's not functioning right, and, you know, they're acting overly tame or overly aggressive or lethargic. Of course, we have other diseases in the coyotes that can make them act strange, too, like sarcoptic mange.
Yeah.
Get very, very mangy.
I've seen coyotes in the hill towns with mange.
Yep. I recommend that we go for those pre-immunizations wherever you can. Well, you can see your doctor about it.
Oh, yeah.
They can order up the vaccine, and then you can get titers. And there's a nice part to that, and then if you get exposed, you don't need so many shots. So it's kind of a lot cheaper if you are exposed. And the protection it can give you is that if you're exposed to rabies and you don't know it, which can happen to somebody like me who's dealing with that kind of thing every day, or a trapper or a coon hunter who's dealing with a lot of animals, or a veterinarian, then the pre-immunization can be pretty darn important. The other thing is that we've been talking about drawing up in my unit some detailed information on how to avoid rabies for trappers and hunters.
It should be in the syllabus, I think.
It should be. You know, it takes some space. Now, a few years ago, I drew it up for deer hunting. You may recall seeing some of that.
Yeah.
And I think we need to do it for trappers. So I think we'll probably draw something up in the next couple of weeks that is kind of tailored to that. Now, you may find that that's a little bit more complex than some people will follow. And but you know, those directions will be very helpful in avoiding that kind of thing.
Sir, I want to thank you for your phone call. Very interesting, you know, to hear somebody from the hill towns like that.
Well, those hill towns, a lot of smart guys up there.
You bet.
Well, I appreciate that call.
Yeah, that's why this show has been so much fun to do since January in 95. You know, it's just getting the information out.
I've been telling you, we need to talk about animals and wildlife where we get those calls.
Well, that's the whole thing. Well, but you know, the situation is, I mean, as far as we know, we don't know if we're back or not. So, you know, hopefully we'll get some good news over the next week and be able to, let listeners know where they can find us if they are going to be able to find us. Yeah. You know, we've had a good run since January of 95.
One thing for this caller, give me a call at my office in a few days, 439-8017. And hopefully by then I'll have drawn up those recommendations on how to avoid getting something like rabies.
Well,
when you're dealing with fur bearers.
We're winding down to our last minute here before we go to the network news here. So any final thoughts or anything here? Because this may very well be our final. Well, you know, if this is our final soapbox or our final broadcast, we got to find a soapbox somewhere to give the environmental message from, I guess.
Well, I think that people need to get out in nature. Go fishing, go hunting, get out there and see what's going on. Take hikes, be close to nature, get your kids out there. Because if we don't get our kids out there and teach them about the what's in nature, we're going to be hurting in the future really badly, a lot worse than we are right now. So I hope we're back here in coming weeks and that we can talk to the public out there through these kind of calls. But
talk radio,
stick up for the environment. It needs it.
WQBK AM Rensselaer, Albany. We're the talk of the town.
Radio News. President Clinton fields questions about foreign campaigns.
Radio's greatest hits of today and yesterday. It's all right here on airchecks.com.